Good morning. Are we doing all right? We're doing okay. Are we excited? That's three of you. Great. How about everybody else? Are we excited? Are we? No, we're still not excited. What is? We're going to have to push through this morning. You're going to have to. Come on. There is excitement in the place. You know what Kelly just shared really rings true with what we want to speak on this morning. Hugh asked us a little while ago. A couple of months ago, he said, oh, are you up for speaking again? So we're like, oh, yeah, sounds good. And he says, well, rather than follow a theme or a series that we're on, just speak with whatever you feel God's put on your heart. And it was a few months ago, back in February, that I was sharing in our staff devotions and at church. And I really had this sense that God wanted to put the joy back into us, his people. And I started thinking, well, what does that mean? What's all that about? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about joy. What is it? Things that can steal our joy. And then some ways that we can turn that around and we can see our joy returned. So first of all, what is joy? Well, other than being female, 5'6", and I get to share an office with her, and I get to call her sister, but she'll tell you that story if she hasn't told you already. She enjoys that story. So what is joy? Well, the definition of joy, the dictionary puts it like this: the feeling of great pleasure or happiness. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, quite like that. Some of the synonyms, words that are similar or have similar meaning, are delight, rejoicing, exaltation. Wonderful stuff. But you know, it goes beyond that. Joy goes further than a feeling. And Dwayne White, one time when he was over, I think it was maybe last year, remember him speaking over somebody, and he said this. He said, happiness is based on happenings, but joy comes from the Lord. Yeah. You know, our happiness is just a feeling. Happiness comes and goes, doesn't it? You don't always wake up going, yeah, I'm happy today when the world is falling down around me. You know, sometimes we wake up and we feel awful. We wake up and we're like, oh, not Monday again. Come on. Lord, why did you put Monday at the beginning of the week? Why can't we have Wednesday? We like Wednesday. It's halfway through. You know, joy goes beyond our feelings, and it shouldn't be conditional on our circumstances. But it is. Often we put it in that bracket. We let things that happen to us, we let our circumstances, the things that can stack up against us, affect our joy. And it shouldn't do that. So what is joy? First of all, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he's writing in Galatians to the church at Galatia in chapter 5 and verse 22, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when we live according to the Spirit that God's put within us, we have access to this joy. It becomes part of our nature, becomes part of inherent within us and part of what we just comes out of us as we live according to the Holy Spirit in us. Now, the more we learn to live by that Spirit and not by our human nature, when Paul is writing there in chapter 5, he refers to it as the flesh, the things that naturally are responses. You know, when we start to live by the Spirit, we get convicted by the Spirit, we start to see joy outworking in our lives. So that's the first thing. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is joy is a decision. And Alex is going to come and just share a little bit on this. Go on, you can clap, Alex. Come on.
Okay, I just want to say, this is a topic that I feel so passionate about. I love seeing joyful people. I want to see people live in the fullness of the joy that God offers us. So I do feel really passionate about what we're speaking on this morning. And I'm going to read you an excerpt from a book that's really helped me. It's a Joyce Meyer book called 7 Things That Can Steal Your Joy. And if you'd like to borrow it from me, come and grab it at the end, because it is a really good book. So this particular page really spoke to me. Joy is a decision. The psalmist David said, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I believe David was making a declaration, and he was establishing it not only for himself, but for everyone who wanted to listen. Having joy is not about a feeling. It's about a decision. we can declare, God has given me this day, and if he has decided to let me breathe another day, then I'm going to enjoy it. Jesus said, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. And that's John chapter 10. Enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give you is based on a decision that you have to make, not on your circumstances. Decide to be happy right where you are and to enjoy the life you have right now on the way to where you're going. Make a firm decision to enjoy your personal journey. So you can begin by saying out loud, I am going to enjoy my life. So I just thought we could say that together, if you're up for it. I am going to enjoy my life. Amen. And so you get that thought established in your mind every morning when you wake up, before you even get out of bed, I encourage you to declare out loud, I am going to enjoy this day. I am seizing the day. I am taking authority over the devil, who's the joy thief, even before he tries to come against me. I have made up my mind that I am going to keep my joy in this day. So I love that, a daily thing. Sometimes we have to take captive thoughts that aren't of God, don't we? And sometimes they can creep in first thing in the morning, like P said, it's a decision to live a joyous day. And then there's another great definition that Pete and I love. This is by Rick Warren, isn't it? He said this in one of his books. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Yeah, I just believe God's come to give us life to the full, and there's so much that zaps and tries to steal our joy. But just to recap on what we've just said so far, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we have to make a conscious decision to have joy every day. It sounds good, doesn't it? But it's very much easier said than done. We do live in a world with problems. There are obstacles that do inevitably creep in. Jesus said it isn't going to be easy. So Pete's just going to come up again and talk us through some things that can steal our joy and how we can start to combat them.
Yeah. We're not going to share all seven things that Joyce Meyer talks about. One thing that can steal our joy is comparison. Just think about that for a minute. What we have, what others have. When we start to compare our life to other people's lives, can quickly lead to a negative road, can't it? Starts out all right going, oh yeah, they've got something nice. Oh, I quite like one of them. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah. But then it can lead a bit further. The more you think about it, the more you dwell on it, can lead to coveting. You know, I really actually, you know, I want what you've got. Then it can lead to jealousy. Jealousy leads to bitterness, and bitterness can lead to resentment and hate. You know, Kelly was right on point this morning. We can quickly get to a very negative space just by comparing what we have to other people. You know, oh, they've got a new car. Why can't I have a new car? I want a new car. That'd be nice. Oh, look at their house. Their house is great. I wish I had that house. Why can't I have that house? I want a big house. Oh, they never seem to have to deal with the issues that I deal with. Sound familiar? Yeah. You go through life and you go, they seem to have it perfect. They never have to go through the issues that I go through. They haven't got the family issues I've got. They haven't got this going off in their life. But you don't know that. I don't know that. Who knows everything that happens in somebody else's life other than God? So we need to stop comparing. Second thing that can steal our joy is doubt. We doubt ourselves, we doubt others, we doubt God. You know, we begin to listen to the little whispers of the enemy. You're not good enough. You can't do that. You won't do that. It'll never happen for you. God doesn't love you enough. You know, those negative words, no matter how small they are, they can build up over time. You know, at first we can be like, go away, devil. I know God loves me and I know I can do it. And that's fine. That's great. But then he keeps saying it and keeps saying it and keeps saying it. And if unchecked, it builds up. And we start to believe them. We start to accept them, and then we start to speak them ourselves. And once you start speaking negative words over yourself, and you start doubting, and it gets lodged and it becomes a stronghold, it changes your lifestyle, it changes your natural response, and you go from, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, to, no, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Somebody says, oh, you'd be fantastic. Can you do this? No. It's not me. God hasn't chosen me. God hasn't gifted me. God doesn't empower me to do anything. So number one, comparison. Number two, doubt. Number three, excessive reasoning. Now, reasoning is when we try to work things out, isn't it? The whys and the hows of behind something, behind a situation, behind something that goes on. But when we do it excessively, our minds go around and around and around the problem. We try to figure it out. It causes us to worry and leads to anxiety. Why did this happen? But why? But why? But why? You ever gone, but why? It's one of the biggest buts you can have is why. But why? How? How am I going to fix it? How did that? Why? How? What's going on? You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding is very key there. Because when things start to stack up against you, when things start to go wrong, because naturally they will, the enemy will try and trip you up. Situations will come along and it won't necessarily be a massive, here is a brick wall to get behind. It'll be one little brick that'll trip you up. And then it'll be another little brick. And those bricks will get stacked high. But sometimes we've just got to let go. We're not going to figure it all out. So how do we get our joy back? First of all, we stop doing those three things. Okay? Stop trying to figure it all out. Let go and let God. Which, as Alex said, it is really easy sometimes. It's easy to say. Our natural instinct is to work it out. You know, we want to know the answers to our questions. You know, it's what science is all about, isn't it? Trying to get to the bottom of everything. Work out every little detail. But counter to that is faith. It's just trusting in the Lord. You know, I don't know why that happened. I don't know why this situation happened. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? I know God. I know how good he is. That leads us to our second thing, stop comparing ourselves to others. You know, the culture today is all about having the latest and the best stuff. We said earlier, you know, oh, I want this, oh, I want that, oh, I want what you've got. And you get angry if unchecked. You get angry. You start, drives you mad. And it can really put a barrier between you and God, like Kelly was saying earlier. And Alex is just going to come and share a little testimony about that.
Okay, I want to talk about a portion of time in my life where I overcame comparing myself to other people and what they had and what God was doing for them. I went to university in London when I was 18, and we were a group of Christians on campus. We were really good friends, completely sold out for Jesus, and all sort of working towards the same goal, working towards graduating and basically trying to give glory to God on campus. And those were sort of our two focuses. And it was mainly women. I went to a university that was 80% women, 20% men. So most of my friends were women. And after we graduated in 2004, inevitably, our lives started going in different paths, as they do when one season is over. And in the years that followed, a lot of them got married. They began to settle down. A lot of them bought their first home. And a lot of them went on an exciting mission trips. And to sum it up, I just felt really left behind, that all their lives were moving forward. And I felt, I've been left behind, God. I'm still here. I'm living in a little flat in London. It's not that comfortable. I do enjoy my job, but you know, I want to do what they're doing. That looks so much better. I wish I was at where they're at. And I want to say there, I do think a lot of us in life have the same heart's desires. God has given us things that are good. You know, having a comfortable home and marriage and family, traveling and missions. Lots of people do desire and want those things. And at that point in time, I just wanted what everybody else had. I didn't feel like my portion was enough. And it was, why, God, why? Why can't I be, you know, sped up a little bit to be where they're at and getting what they're getting? And it really caused a barrier between me and God for a good chunk of time, actually, until I decided to combat it, because my joy was zapped. I wasn't as joyful as I could be, feeling like I was living in the mundane is the only way I can describe it, really. So with the help of friends and prayer and really coming to God with it, I put it to one side and I decided not to compare myself to others. I wanted to enjoy the journey that God had got me on. I was born at the time I was born for a purpose, and God knew that. And if I was submitting to his will, I was in the right place that I was meant to be. And, you know, when I did that, things just started to fall into place and became so much better. I was released from the burden of comparison. In the months that followed, making that decision and moving forward, I went abroad to live in Africa. God completely opened that door. It was nothing in my strength. It was all him. And that actually opened up one of the most significant portions in my life, where I realised my calling. I got so much closer to God. And that was exactly what he had for me in that time. And I'd been waiting to get to that place, so I realise that now. And it just set me free that time in my life. I don't compare anymore. I really do genuinely thank God every day that this is my life and this is my journey, and it's unique. It's not that girl's from uni, it's not that girl's, it's not hers, it's mine. And God has got a plan and a purpose for my life that is good. And that's pretty much sums it up, really. So I hope you can relate to that. And if that is you, I really want to pray with you at the end that, I can pray for you to be released from that as well. Okay.
So we need to stop trying to figure it all out, stop comparing, and stop doubting. You know, sometimes it's hard to stop doubting. When you get into a really negative place, it's hard to stop. Stop doubting in ourselves, stop doubting other people, stop doubting God. You know, how do we do that? We remember what God's done for us, don't we? We recall on the things that he's done in the past. And when you're in a place of negativity, when you're in one of those dark times in your life, one of those really bad winter seasons, sometimes it's hard to remember what God's done in your life. Sometimes it's hard to recall. You know, you go to think about it, and all you can think is the situation you're in. That's why he's given us the Bible. Now, the Bible isn't just full of stories, it's our history. You know, the God of the Bible is our God today. You know, we say, you know, yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same, and that is true. You know, the things he did in the Bible, he's still doing today. So start in the beginning. Look at creation. If you want to know how good God is, look at the God who created everything by speaking. That's a powerful God. He provided for Noah and his family. He provided for Joseph. Yes, he went through trial. Yes, he went through persecution, and he went through all sorts of troubling times. But God brought him to a point where he could bring Israel to a place where they didn't starve out during famine in Egypt. He provided for Israel when they escaped Egypt. Move to the New Testament. Jesus, hello. If you want to know how good God is, look at what Jesus did for us. You know, brought us to a place where if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, it is a free gift that we can live in freedom and have eternal life and have access to all the goodness that God has in store, which is limitless, to pour out into our lives. A quick example of that is in Matthew 14, and you know, Jesus, I look, he just says, Jesus walks across the lake to the disciples who'd rowed out hours earlier, caught up in a storm, weren't getting very far. And the verses previous, in, around verse 20 in Mark 14, says that Jesus was on the hillside praying. And then he just wandered out across the lake. Caught them up, because as you do, you're in a boat, you're not getting very far. You have a road. Awful stuff. You know, and then in those verses it says that the disciples saw Jesus and they freaked out. Must be a ghost. What's this thing walking on water? Never seen Jesus do that before. In verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When our eyes are fixed on him, we can do anything. We get out of the boat. If the Lord calls us, we can just walk wherever. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. Now, how many times do we look on a situation and then our faith drops? We go, yes, God is good. Sunday morning, fantastic. I love you, Jesus. I can do anything. I can do the impossible. Walk out the door. Oh, great. No, I can't. No. Car's broken. Not going to get anywhere. It's Monday morning. This situation comes up. That situation comes up. We take our focus off knowing who God is. We start doubting. And it zaps us of that joy that we had to, you know, we can do anything. We can go anywhere. So we need to stop trying to reason, stop trying to work it all out, stop comparing and stop doubting. And the three things we need to start doing, start declaring. Number one, the goodness of God. Start declaring his promises. You know, God said he'd never leave us. So why then, if any situation comes up, should we start freaking out? If we have the God of all creation, high above all things, name above all names, do we get a situation where we start going, oh, no, it's no good, it's not going to work? When we have God right here. Now, when we move from a stance of, oh, woe is me, it's all gone wrong, to a, you know what, God, you are good. I worship you. You are amazing. I can do all things through you. Changes our attitude. Changes our perspective. We start to understand who God is and who we are in him. You know, I had a bad start last week. So an all right weekend. Monday morning came. I really sound like I hate Monday mornings. I don't hate Monday mornings. Don't get that wrong. But something, Monday, something was up. I just felt under attack. And I knew because my responses to situations changed. I like to think I'm quite a naturally peppy person. I'm relatively happy. Like to attack all things in a positive way. Monday, nope. I was negative. I might have tried to hide it, but I was negative. What I was saying was negative. It was all, oh, why this? Why that? This is rubbish. It's not, oh. You know, I just felt something heavy on me that wasn't the glory of God. It was something that was just hard pressed. You ever feel when you're just under some oppression and you can't shift it? Tuesday morning came. Staff devotions that we have every Tuesday morning. And we started worshiping. You know, in that moment, things change. When you start declaring the goodness of who God is, things start to change. We're singing, my Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. Now, when you start to speak those words out, it starts encouraging yourself. You know, we sing some great songs, don't we? In the song Stand Up, when we don't know what to do, our eyes will be fixed on you. 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. That's based on in Psalms, and David's telling himself, he's going, come on, soul, worship the Lord. no matter who's trying to kill me, no matter who's chasing me, no matter the enemy that I'm facing, you are good. I'm going to worship you. And the song Cornerstone, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And then the chorus, Christ alone, cornerstone. The cornerstone, the thing we build ourselves off. The weak made strong in the Saviour's love. And through the storm, he is Lord. He's Lord of all. When you start to declare those positive words, those statements of faith, the situation starts to turn around a little bit. Now, will you remind yourself of who he is and who you are in him? I'm no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. Keep declaring that that over yourself when you're in those situations. No, I won't be a slave to fear. I'm not going to be afraid because I know who God is. Now, we're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. You know what? He's the best kind of father. He loves to give good gifts. And we have access to all of those things. And so post-devotions, I was a bit better. I wasn't great. Tuesday morning, I was not great. Now, Dad knew I was having a bit of a tough time. Says to me after, he says, so, how are you feeling? Broke down. Cried. Couldn't help it. Said, I just need some prayer. Point two, pray. At all times. When you start to feel under attack, you start to feel hopeless, pray. You know, and sometimes it's hard to pray. I get that. You feel so overwhelmed that you just, I can't pray. I'm just in a negative, I can't do it. I can't pray. It's more I can't. The great thing about church is if you can't pray, other people will. Now, we were hearing this week at the conference about being houses of prayer and about just opening yourself up to a group of people who will lift you up in prayer. Great example of Peter in the Bible when he's in prison, he's chained to a guard on either side. Bible says he was asleep, but the church prayed. And they saw victory. Now, if you're in a place where you feel like you cannot pray, I was in that place. Get others to pray for you. Quick text message. Quick, pray for me. I'm dealing with this. Get yourself open and honest before a few people that will lift you up, that will hold you in prayer, that will intercede for you when you can't do it for yourself. Now, there's power in corporate prayer. Next thing with prayer is, if you can pray, pray honestly. Don't come to God and be like, well, it's been all right, God, thank you, Jesus. It's been amazing. You know, I mean, this week's been all right. But, you know, this is going on. No, pray honestly. It's a relationship. You need to be open and honest. If you're having a rubbish week, go, God, I'm having a rubbish week. I feel under attack. I feel oppressed. I've been negative. I have unforgiveness. Like Kelly was saying, I can't get out of it. God, help. Now, when we're open, God just rushes in like a wind. You know, and again, we were hearing at the conference, sometimes we've got to pray silently. One of the guys who was speaking, he says he likes to pray when he goes running. I could never do that. I don't think I could Don't think I could focus on anything other than running and go, breathe. You know, but he says when he goes running, he prays. And it was not long after he started doing that that he said to himself, hang on a minute. Why am I praying with headphones in? Why, in a world that is so noisy, am I getting myself out to a moment when I can pray and I'm filling my head with more noise? Sometimes we've just got to pray in silence and wait for a response, like we did this morning. Just come before God, tell him how you're feeling, tell him how it is, and wait for God to speak back, because he will if you give him time. Might just be one word. Might be a name. You know, you might say, God, I'm struggling. Help me. What can I do? He might just give you one name. And it might just be you've got to go talk to that person. That person might have been through something you're struggling with and can help you and pray for you and bring you through to a place of deliverance. So, start declaring, start praying. And the third thing is to start accepting the Holy Spirit. Now, if joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's kind of hard to have joy if you don't first have the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And working with the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit work through you. And it's great to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we need to keep being filled. No, those hard moments, those moments where you feel like you have no joy, your joy is gone, you're zapped, your stuff is just stacked against you. Go, God, pour out your Holy Spirit again. You know, and as the Spirit moves, your faith begins to rise. You begin to believe again that God is a God of all goodness, all power, and we can do all things through him. And we're going to do that in a minute. We're going to, if the band want to come back, we're going to declare, we're going to pray, and we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. I love what Steve was saying last week about the Holy Spirit. We weren't here, we got it on podcast. You know, about the Holy Spirit, just in the Bible, often referred to as wind. Just blowing through. Blow out the cobwebs. Blow the bricks out on that wall that's stopping you moving forward. So I am going to seize today. I am going to enjoy today. I'm not going to let the enemy stop me from enjoying my day. And joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. Not just some, all. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. The end of that road, everything's fine. Yes, there might be obstacles I have to swerve around. But, you know, God at the helm, I can do it. And today I'm making that choice to praise God. No matter what's going off around me, no matter what I'm struggling with, no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to praise the Lord. So why don't we stand?